Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2008, day number 6. So we're getting closer and closer to the end of the feast. And also, it means that as the fulfilling of the millennium takes place, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end of the millennium. And of course, there are going to be events that will take place, some things that we need to understand how God is going to do it. So we'll cover that beginning tomorrow, so we can see what the end of the millennium is going to be like. But here we're examining now, we'll continue on in the book of Psalms, and see the kingdom of God and the millennium in the Psalms. Now we've seen it has a lot to do with our job, our purpose, how we get there, the whole world worshiping God, the whole world serving God, the way that God blesses the whole world. And we saw a tremendous, tremendous thing of how we are going to worship God in the beauty of holiness as spirit being, a complete and profound and absolute perfect worship of God that we cannot experience until we're resurrected from the dead and are spirit beings and come to the presence of God Himself to worship Him. Now that is going to be awesome indeed. That is going to be something. So these are the things that God wants us to keep our minds on. You see, one of the things that is always important for us to do is this. Always keep our minds on the goal. And always keep our minds on the kingdom of God. Anything that comes along, put it into perspective. Put it into God's hands to work out for you. And always remember that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So that's why, even in times of trouble and distress, don't get worried, don't get fixated on the trouble and distress. Keep focused on the goal, what we're going to do, where we are going, how we are going to do it, who God is, who Christ is, what His plan and purpose is, and that we are an integral part of it, and because He has personally chosen us to reveal these things to us, to give us knowledge and understanding, and to create in us His very character to prepare us for these times of the living in the millennium and on into all eternity. So you see, God has greater things for us. God has fantastic things for us to do. And so we need to keep our minds on that, and that's one of the reasons we have the Feast of Tabernacles every year, so we can get refocused on what God is doing. And let's understand this. Because of this, it's not like it was in the past. The Feast of Tabernacles is to be an enjoyable spiritual time in fellowshipping with the brethren and not converted into a carnal vacation of games and drinking and things that has happened in the past. So let's come now to Psalm 72. Now this is quite a psalm. Here again, we are going to see how it emphasizes God's judgment, because He's going to judge the whole world continuously, and how His righteousness is always going to be upheld and used to help, to teach, to inspire, to uplift. Now, Psalm 72 and verse 1. Give the king your judgment. Now, how do you think we're going to operate and judge during the millennium? By God's judgments, by His laws, by His commandments, by His spirit, by His purpose, right? Yes, indeed. O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may judge your people in righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. So here it is. Righteousness is going to flow down. Can you imagine what the world is going to be like when there is no crime, there are no criminals, there are no one devoted to evil, that God is leading and guiding and doing His greatest work of creation with the human race, all during the millennium, and bringing into the kingdom of God billions, billions of sons and daughters. And He's doing that because when New Jerusalem comes down to the to the earth, then there's the vastness of the universe, which even men are beginning to understand is still being created. And so we're going to figure in that one way or another. So always keep your mind on that. Verse 4, he shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, he shall crush in pieces the oppressor, won't even be around any longer. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations, all through the millennium. Now it says there in Revelation 22 that the New Jerusalem, 21 rather, that New Jerusalem has no need of the sun or moon to shine in it, because the glory of God lightens it. But that doesn't mean there is going to be no sun or no moon. It just doesn't need it. So here it is, the moon unto all generations. He shall come down like rain upon mown grass. This is God's Spirit leading. Like showers that water the earth. Again, notice water, righteousness serving. And in his days, righteousness shall flourish, an abundance of peace until the moon be no more. Well, I don't know if the moon's going to be gone forever or whatever, but if it is, I'll tell you how we're going to find out. You be there so you'll know. He shall also have rule from sea to sea and from river unto the ends of the earth. Never has been a time like that. Now, I could have brought this up as well, too, you know, that the prophecies haven't been fulfilled. This has never been fulfilled. When is it that they have worshiped God? He has the rule from sea to sea and from rivers, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Never has been. Come down here to verse 11. Yea, all kings shall prostrate themselves before him. That's part of our worship, too. Imagine what it's going to be like when we worship God in the beauty of holiness and prostrate ourselves down before God. Verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he cries, the poor with the one who has no helper. He shall have compassion upon the weak and needy and shall save the lives of the needy. He shall redeem their life from deceit and violence, and their blood shall be precious in his sight. So that's going to be a tremendous thing that's going to happen. You know, this, the millennium and all eternity is set before us. Verse 16. May there be an abundance of grain in the earth upon the top of the mountains. May its fruit wave like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. You know, all extolling God. This is talking about peace, prosperity, love, righteousness, goodness, the right God, the right judgment. Everything to uplift the mind, the heart, the soul, the being of everyone. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed in him. All the nations shall call him blessed. Hasn't happened yet, has it? Blessed is the Lord God, the Lord of Israel, who alone does these wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. And all the earth is filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, isn't it interesting how many of these psalms relating to the kingdom that God gave to David, a man after his own heart. And the first king to really be a righteous king. Now, Saul flunked out because of vanity. And unfortunately, Solomon got corrupted. We've already covered that. Now, let's come to Psalm 84. Let's see again some more of the motivation of coming into the presence of God and what we need to do, and how we need to look at being able to be in the millennium, to live with God, to dwell with God. That's going to be fantastic. Now, Psalm 84 and verse 1. How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! City of Jerusalem, city of the King, the new temple that he's going to build there. with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and all, and the only ones to go into Jerusalem will be those who are spirit beings. How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. We can't imagine how beautiful it's going to be. We're going to see part of it when we come to the last great day and we do our step into eternity in Revelation 21 and 22. And from there on, we don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. Now, here's how our desire needs to be toward God. Verse 2, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now, this is what it means to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Cries out to the living God. He looks out. He says, yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. We're going to dwell there. This is talking about New Jerusalem. They shall still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Not himself, not his vanity, but in God. For his righteousness, for his truth, for his spirit, for his love, and all of those things. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Your ways are in their hearts. The spiritual creation of God within us, who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a place of springs, completely change it. Yea, the early rain also clothes it with blessings. They shall go from strength to strength, every one of them appearing in Zion before God. Can you imagine? There's going to come a set time when we're going to come before God the Father and Jesus Christ personally. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? But it's going to happen. I can't imagine it, but I tell you what, in going through the Psalms here, I have a little greater inkling of what it's like to look through a glass darkly and to see some of the images of these things start to become a little clearer in my mind. Verse 8, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, our God is our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your court is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. That's what it needs to be with us. This is a tremendous psalm of our desire, depicting the earnestness and the longing and the really fainting, as it were. Just it leaves us weak and breathless to contemplate the greatness of God and to be in his company. All right. Let's come here to Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse 8. Psalm 86 and verse 8. Among the gods there is none like you. Now he's talking about the other gods of the nation on the of the nations on the earth at this particular time. None like you, O Lord, neither are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Now they're going to do this every Sabbath, every holy day. That is going to be an amazing thing, isn't it? And we're going to be a part of directing that and supervising that and making sure that it happens, and all of this to the glory of God. Now, what happens when that happens? God is pleased and his blessings flow and his spirit comes and his love is poured out and the intents and purposes of God are disclosed to everyone. God is pleased. These are things which please God. Verse 9, for you are great and do wonderful things. You alone are God. Verse 11 shows what it's going to be. This is why we're going to be teachers. Teach me your way, O Lord. Now, we need to have that right now in our lives, don't we? Every day. God, teach me. God, help me. You see, and one of the things that's so important for us to realize is this, is that we are totally dependent upon God for everything. Everything physical, everything spiritual, every breath we draw, every bite of food we eat, everything that we see, the houses that we live in, everything comes from God. And on top of that, He has blessed us so tremendously with His Spirit and with His love and the knowledge of His Word. And that becomes the greatest and most important thing. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Now that is as a way of life. And as I said yesterday, we have to come to the point that our yes is yes and our no is no, and in particularly, not just to what you verbalize to other people, but in your heart toward God, and in your heart in dealing with other people as well. That what you say is the truth, and you will stand behind it. What you tell someone you will do, you will do. What you tell God, you will do. Because there are certain things that we have to come to in our lives and just cease from doing it. And we have to say, yes, God, this is what I am going to do, and continue to do it, and that your word is truth, and that it will be done. Not going out, as it says there in one of the Proverbs, when you vow a vow, and then you look at it and you think, well, now I better change my mind. Well, your yes is not yes, and your no is not no. So this is it. Walk in your truth. My heart rejoices to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. And this tells us how to do it, doesn't it? For great is your mercy toward me. And think of the great mercy that is given to us, that it is going to happen when we are resurrected, when we are changed from flesh to spirit. And God is going to reach down and He's going to call us out of the grave. Think of all the saints that are in the grave right now in their place of safety waiting for the return of Christ and a resurrection. Going to be something. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of the grave, and that has got to be the resurrection. Oh God, the proud have risen up against me, so forth. It blends into other things here. Verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in steadfast love and truth, and that could also be mercy and truth. So these are the characteristics of God that He wants us to learn, that He wants us to develop as He molds and shapes our spiritual character. Now let's come to Psalm 93. Psalm 93. Now, there are several psalms in a row which have to do with the reign of God on earth. And, of course, here again, for all of those who think all prophecy has been fulfilled, what do you do with this? The Lord reigns. Psalm 93 and verse 1. If He's here on earth and reigning, where is He? Well, Jesus said, if they say He's in the wilderness, don't go forth. If they say He's in a secret chamber, don't believe it, because He's going to return in a spectacular and fantastic way that we've already covered in the events leading up to Pentecost. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty, because He's a spirit being, and His countenance shines as the sun, and His visage is the full strength of the sun, and even His feet as if they burn a brass burning in the fire, and His eyes are a flame of fire. He clothed Himself, and the world also was established and shall not be moved. That's how he's going to solidify everything during the millennium. No one's going to go against him. Now, at the end of the millennium, there will be those who will want to, and we'll cover that tomorrow. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting. Now, think of that. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the thunders of many waters, yea, mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. And so we're going to have love and honor and respect, and we'll see the great power of God in everything that we see. That's going to be something for all people. Now, what I want you to do the next time you watch the news with all of the crime and all of the stupidity on it, think about the comparison and contrast to what we are covering here during the Feast of Tabernacles. Think about that. Think what the difference is going to be. And then maybe you will understand 1 John 5:21, where he says, the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, the other night, I got up, say about 12:30, quarter to one. So I turned on the television because I wanted to check and see if there was any late-breaking news on anything concerning the fires and so forth. There wasn't. And so I did a channel surf. I went through all 74 channels. Let's see, we have 74 plus 8, so that's 82 channels. I went through every one, and guess what I saw on every one? Sin, 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 sin. And I thought to myself, this is incredible. We're reaching the days like it was in the days of Noah, that the thought of every man was only evil continually. And I just couldn't get over it. And so next time you watch the news, keep these things in mind and see if you don't agree with me. Now let's come to Psalm 96. And here we have, this is really, really great. You know, there are other psalms, we couldn't possibly cover all of them. But here, Psalm 96 and verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, you compare what the music of the world is today. Evil, especially to drive into hearts and minds of young people and get them thinking on evil and wretchedness and death and doom and gloom and witchcraft and the occult and all of those things, you see. Now, think of the world totally changed. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Again, put yourself in that place just above the earth, and as the earth turns, what's it going to be like to hear all these praises coming up from people every day and every Sabbath and every holy day? And it's going to be magnificent. They're all going to be able to sing. I think at that time, there won't be too many making a joyful noise because God is going to heal all of the people who have trouble singing so they can sing praise to God. Now, that's my own personal opinion. Okay. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all people. That's going to happen every single day. That's why it says in Isaiah 10 that the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the oceans cover the earth. And here's part of it, how it's done. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. Well, they'll be all outmoded at that time, for all the gods of the nations are idols. There won't be any around during the millennium. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh, give thanks, O you kindreds of people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. So there's going to be a beauty of holiness that people will worship him in, and there will be a beauty of holiness which we, as the sons and daughters of God, will worship God with. So it's going to be magnificent all the way around. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns, and the world shall be established, it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people with righteousness. No evil, no underhandedness, no, none of the sins that people have today, which they just take granted as normal. None of that. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness of it, let the field be joyful, and all that is in it, then shall all the trees of the forest rejoice. Now, we don't know exactly how that's going to be, but I can tell you this. When plants are taken care of in a right way, they respond, and they produce. Now, I don't know how a plant's going to rejoice. But I tell you what, I want to stick around and see how that's going to be. I know they're not going to talk and answer back. It's not going to be like that stupid movie, Talk to the Animals. Okay? You're not going to talk to the plants. Oh, tree, tree, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. Give me a little more water. You know, I don't think it'll be anything like that. But it's going to be so fantastic that that will happen. Verse 13, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with truth. Amazing. So here, these are called the Lord reigns psalms. Every one of these have to do about the reigning of God. That has to be during the millennium. So, look at all these psalms which tell us what is going to happen. Now you see, this is why carnal Christianity today, if I could call it that, and that's really the right name to call it, carnal Christianity. The reason is this, because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's enmity against God. So if you have a Christianity that says there's no laws, there's no commandments, all these things have been fulfilled, no wonder they have to throw in the stupid doctrine of going to heaven, your immortal soul, because they don't ever read these psalms and have any understanding as to what they mean. But we who keep the Sabbath and the holy days and Feast of Tabernacles, we can learn if we get in and study and put it all together. Now here, Psalm 97. Notice, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are all around him. Righteousness and judgment are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. Well, there won't be any enemies to burn up. Well, if someone commits the unpardonable sin, yeah, they're going to be devoured. But I wonder what it's like when God says, okay, I'm going to leave Jerusalem and I'm going to come and visit this part of the earth. Will he come in this manner? What's it going to be like to see God coming from Jerusalem in his cherubim and it lands down wherever they're going to land? Huh? That's going to be something, isn't it? Let's come down here to verse 6. The heavens declare his righteousness. And as Psalm 19 says, his glory shows the glory of God. And all people see his glory. Oh, that's going to be something, isn't it? That's going to be absolutely magnificent. Then they have the inset verse here. All those who serve graven images are ashamed, who boast themselves in idols. You know, we're going to know the absolute foolishness of idols. You can read there Isaiah 41, 42, 43, and 44 about the stupidity of people who make idols. Now let's go on. Verse 8. Zion heard and was glad. The daughters of Judah rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are high above all the earth and are exalted above all gods. That's what it is now. Christ comes to the earth. He's going to be on the earth. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So there again, quite a wonderful, wonderful psalm depicting the millennium and the reign of God on earth with the kings and priests under Christ to bring it about. Now, I just want you to stop and think about all that we've covered, and I want you to think about the foolishness of the leaders of this world and the foolishness of people who think that a man, I don't care who he is, where he is, what country he is in, I don't care what his race is, how tall he is, how short he is, or whatever. No one can, by political means, solve spiritual problems. So we need to keep that in mind. All right, Psalm 98 goes right on. These are psalms of degrees, and each one sort of adds to the other and puts together a complete picture. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand. Now, we have a song in the hymnal, don't we, of this? And his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation and has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Not today. Saint, the devil is deceiving them. They are blinded. They can't understand. And God said that he has blinded them, and ultimately, as we know, for the fulfillment of the last great day, that he can save them. So even that's a wonderful thing to understand. He has remembered his steadfast love and his truth toward the house of Israel, spiritual and physical. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, that has never happened. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and rejoice and sing praise. Sing to the Lord with the lyre, with the voice of a psalm, with silver trumpets, the sound of a ram's horn. Make a joyful noise. So there still will be joyful noise. I can see with a ram's horn, make a joyful noise, because it sounds so awful. You know, if you've never heard a ram's horn, that's nothing like a silver trumpet. This is just a blast. It's kind of a big blast going out. So that's the only joyful noise you can make before the Lord your God. Let the seas roar and the fullness of it, the world and those that dwell in there. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. So there you have another psalm. I tell you, by the time we get done with this, you are going to see, and we could do this in all parts of the Bible. We could get some things out of Genesis and some things out of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. Every book there is something to do with the kingdom of God, even in the histories of the tribes of Israel and Judah, because they were the physical kingdom of God on earth. So there are things we can get out of that. And then we have all of the prophets. Then we have the Psalms. Then we have the New Testament. And then we have, and in that we have the Gospels and Acts, and we have the general epistles, and we have the epistles of Paul and the book of Revelation. And the Bible is literally saturated with the understanding and knowledge of God, that God is going to reign and the kingdom of God is going to prevail above everything. So that's really quite something for us to know and to understand. Now notice it carries right on Psalm 99. So we have all of these psalms, Psalm 93, Psalm 96, 97, 98, 99, and even on into Psalm 100. All having to do with the Lord reigning on the earth. Verse 1, Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth shake. the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise your name is great and awesome. Holy is he. The strength of the king also loves justice. You established righteousness. You executed judgment and righteousness in Jacob, and yes, all the world, as we have seen through all of these psalms. Praise the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Now notice, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, now resurrected. And Samuel also among those who call upon his name. This tells us who's going to be in the kingdom of God, doesn't it? They called upon the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in a cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and ordinance that he gave them. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You are a forgiving God to them, though you took vengeance for their deeds. And it shows now the restoration of Israel during the millennium. Praise the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord, our God, is holy. Tremendous, brethren. We can see here, I don't know about you, but in just going through and preaching this, I'm very inspired about what God is going to do and our part in it and how fantastic it's through all the psalm. Let's go to the next track, please.